What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And for those of you watching on Bamusa, this gorgeous creature sitting next to me is the lovely Lady Claire. And she's wrapped up here because it's actually unseasonably cold here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I realized belatedly, having lost 100 pounds, I don't have any long blue jeans, which we're going to correct this afternoon.
Yes, we're going to fix that.
Because we're acclimated to the tropical climate, and it's very cold, and there's a lot of wind chill factor. So that's why she's all wrapped up like this here today.
Yes.
Okay, so what's the first thing that you want to talk about today?
Well, we have been talking about the repercussions of President Trump's declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel.
Yes.
And this thing has not tamped down. The protests are getting worse. And today, a protester in a wheelchair was shot dead by Israeli troops along with two other Palestinians. And there were others who were killed. Another 150 were hurt as protests all over President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital enter their second week. Now, I put this up. This was originally from the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail, which is a UK tabloid, has pulled it. And if you take a look at the victim here, you will understand why. The guy who got shot, the image of him, he's lost both of his legs up to above the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting in his wheelchair making a peace sign. You know, I don't understand this. And you really have to be a butch IDF soldier to assassinate a legless protester in a wheelchair who cannot begin to do you any harm in cold blood.
Well, it's important to remember that all of these demonstrations so far have been peaceful on the part of the Palestinians because they know how Israel will react, and Israel is already reacting that way.
Mm-hmm.
Netanyahu is obviously very concerned that he did not get the positive reaction from the rest of the world over this stunt.
Oh, no.
And so the attitude appears to be, we're going to do what we're going to do, and if you complain, we will hurt you.
Yeah.
And that was mirrored in a statement he actually made yesterday, where he said that Palestinians just have a reality check and accept things as they are now, and that is the only hope for peace. And we have been hearing that from Israel all along, where every time Israel grabs another chunk of Palestine, they'll say, this is just the way it is. And if you want to talk peace, you have to accept that.
Yeah, and beside the assassinations of these protesters, this soldier most probably won't be investigated or made to take a leave of absence anytime soon. He or she will probably get a promotion for this assassination.
Unfortunately,
I wouldn't bet
yes.
against it. I sure as heck wouldn't.
Well, in the eyes of the Israeli government and sadly much of the Israeli people, they hold that the Palestinians are an inferior life form, Untermensch. That's what the Nazis used to say when they were
undermen.
When they were putting the Jews and the Gypsies and the mentally retarded and the homosexuals into those slave labor camps, it was because they were less desirable humans, and it was okay to treat them that way. Israel's doing exactly the same thing to the Palestinians.
I would agree. I would agree. We have had an incredible, coming back to the domestic agenda, we have had an incredible bump in homeless people dying on the streets of our cities. Currently, 80 homeless people have died on the streets of Portland last year, adding to the more than 350 who have disappeared while homeless in Portland in the last 6 years. The number marks a 70% increase in homeless deaths in Multnomah County, home to Portland, local authorities said Thursday. And Mike, this is unacceptable. This is completely unacceptable.
Well, just to backtrack a little bit, it may be that some of those 350 disappeared homeless succeeded in finding some place to live, connected with a relative.
Okay.
We have a program here in Hawaii. If you're homeless and you can prove that there is somebody on the mainland who's going to take you in, the state will buy you a one-way plane ticket, economy class, and you can go home. And I think that's a good solution there.
Yeah.
I find it interesting, possibly alarming. They're not saying how these homeless people died.
No.
Obviously, in the coming hard winter, we're going to see a lot of homeless people die if they're not able to get to cold weather shelters.
Yeah.
But how many of them are just randomly being killed by thrill seekers, and the police aren't going to investigate because, after all, they're homeless and nobody really cares about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is completely unacceptable to me. And all the state and federal legislators seem to want to do is not to cure the problem, just sweep it under the proverbial rug and run the homeless out of one place and into another.
Well, again, but that's not, here in Hawaii, yeah. that's what they're doing. Yeah. The entire effort of the government is to make sure the homeless are corralled yeah. where the tourists will not see them.
Right.
Underneath the overpasses on the aqueduct, chasing them out of Waikiki, getting them away from the tourist centers, because mm-hmm. the tourists will very often, you know, give money to the homeless, and that's less money they have to spend at all the stores along mm-hmm. Waikiki, and
right.
the store owners are very upset about that.
Yep.
So we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network, and I find this unacceptable, but I find the idea of such a huge homeless population unacceptable to begin with, and I don't think the U.S. government has a moral right to give a single penny of our tax money to any foreign government when we have Americans sleeping in alleys and eating out of trash cans. And I feel very strongly about that. Mm-hmm. This government is not taking care of the American people,
not
whether homeless or in their homes. We're not being taken care of. They take all that huge tax money. They spend it on themselves. They spend it on war. They spend it on Israel. And we are left to basically try and fend for ourselves amid all the crumbling infrastructure.
Yeah. And it's just not right. I'd like to revisit that Nikki Haley address
yes.
at the UN. And Haley said she had what were remnants of an Iranian-made missile system used against the Saudi-led coalition by the Houthi rebels. There's only one problem. Every missile that's being used is of Yemeni origin. None of them originated in Iran.
Nikki Haley's entire case claiming yeah. it was made in Iran was there's one part in it that was purchased from an Iranian source.
Yeah.
But also there was another part in that missile that was purchased from an American source. So by Nikki Haley's logic, the United States is supplying Yemen with missiles
yeah.
To shoot at Saudi Arabia. Again, this is a repeat of Saddam's nukes, Assad's sarin gas.
Yeah.
Torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin. Pearl Harbor was a surprise. The Lusitania wasn't carrying smuggling weapons to Great Britain. Mm-hmm. Because that's how this government gets you into war with lie after lie after lie after lie.
Absolutely. And the Iranian government yesterday has issued a statement denying that a presentation earlier by Nikki Haley represented any proof that they'd been sending arms to the Shiite Houthis in Yemen to resist the U.S.-backed Saudi invasion, saying it was a fabrication. And their foreign minister likened Haley's presentation to Colin Powell's 2003 WMD speech about Iraq, which participated the disastrous U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq.
And that's the one where he was wagging yeah. that vial yeah. of talcum yeah. powder at everybody and saying, it's anthrax, be afraid,
yeah.
it's anthrax.
And, you know, the Iranian Oops. Foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, is entirely correct in making this analogy. He's right, bang spot on, Mike, as far as I can see.
He is.
Yeah, you know. Here's another one that's a little bit out there, but scary nonetheless. DARPA can exterminate humanity and could feasibly wipe out the entire human race. And it's looking at doing some of the most dangerous experiments that mankind has ever done, and they are looking to develop what is called gene drive technology. Scientists now have the knowledge and the tools they need to create and deliver doomsday genes, which can selectively target and exterminate an entire species. According to Sputnik News, and as previously reported by hit the fan, the United States highly secretive and advanced military research body, DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, announced that it's going to invest tens of millions of dollars into genetic extinction research. And the theory is that it's going to be fighting harmful insects like mosquitoes, which carry malaria. But, Mike, where does this end in the hands of the deep state and the military-industrial complex?
Well, obviously, I don't think DARPA is all that concerned about mosquitoes.
No.
I think they're trying to create targetable biological weapons that will hit people of certain gene types. And obviously, Russia is very concerned because they've caught the U.S. government trying to acquire DNA samples from people all over Russia. Now, obviously, my concern here is looking at how sloppily GMO research has been handled over the years.
Yes.
Along with the possibility that whatever infectious vector is carrying this doomsday gene could mutate.
Yeah.
Then you could have this thing all of a sudden starts killing unintended targets.
Yeah. We're talking about also, I'd like to go back to North and South Korea. Seoul has asked the U.S. to delay joint military exercises with Japan until after the Winter Olympics, theoretically to avoid provoking North Korea ahead of the 28 Olympic Games. Mike, do you know when the timing of those games would be? End of January, maybe?
It's in January, and again, along with the upcoming Christmas and New Year's holidays, ripe target for a false flag.
Yeah,
You've got all those U.S. forces and submarines right there off the Korean Peninsula. Mm-hmm. They could fling some kind of a missile into the Olympics and claim it came from North Korea.
Yeah, that could. In fact, there was an article in Zero Hedge that the holiday time can be a false flag time.
Yes, I'm in agreement.
Yeah. Also, I think you mentioned that China is doing a latest round of military exercises.
Live fire exercises.
Yeah.
And they're basically out there trying to send the message that the U.S., Japanese, South Korean exercises aren't the only ones going on.
Yeah.
And China is not taking an adversarial position, but they're basically trying to say it's not just your part of the world to play around in anymore.
Yeah, I would observe that China seems to be sending the message that although it does not want to see a war on the Korean Peninsula, it's not afraid to have to fight one if an attacking country pushes either North Korea and or China to their limits of non-response.
Yeah.
Now, I thought this was kind of ironic, and I had to laugh a little. This came from Zero Hedge. Russia's former economy minister is sentenced to 8 years in jail. Last November, 1 week after Trump's election, and just as the Russian collusion narrative in the U.S. was getting warmed up, they reported a bizarre incident in the top echelons, one in which Russia's economy minister, Alexei Yulekeyev, was arrested on suspicion of taking a $2 million bribe in return for his ministry's support of a positive assessment that would allow state oil company Rosneft to complete a deal to purchase the government's stake in another Russian oil giant, Bashneft, after he was monitored and his cell phone was bugged by the FSB for more than a year. The bribe in question involved the sale of Rosneft's 50% stake in Bashneft. Now, I thought this was interesting because in Russia, when an official or formal official does something wrong, they get tried, they get convicted, and they get hard time in jail.
Boy, we need some of that
in the U.S., when an official or former official does something illegal, they go on book signing tours and are praised and get lionized by a gaggle of adoring fans. Now, Mike, in my world, what is wrong with this picture? Absolutely everything.
Absolutely everything.
Yeah. And there was a very interesting development, which has been completely ignored by U.S. and Western media, for the most part. And the title from Zero Hedge is, Who You Gonna Fight? Landmark Treaty Signed to Create an EU Army. And EU leaders formally endorsed the harmless-sounding Permanent Structured Cooperation, or PESCO Pact, on Thursday evening in Brussels. After the shock of Brexit, the goal of defense integration was revived by former military foes, Germany and France, supported by Italy and Spain, in a show of unity. A similar proposal was blocked by the French Parliament in the 1950s. Now a treaty has been signed which sees the defense union complete by 2025 in what has been described as one of the most tangible steps in European integration since Brexit. Britain, yes, go ahead.
Basically, I mean, EU, Brussels has made it very clear. They want to turn the coalition of the European Union member states into a single federalized country under central authority, which is what happened here in the United States, because we started originally as 13 independent sovereign states.
Right.
And that central government, their role was arbiter between the states, and that was basically about it. And now the same thing's happening in Europe.
Yeah. Apparently, Britain, thanks to Brexit, Malta, and Denmark, which has an opt-out on EU defense issues, did not sign the agreement. But the photo accompanying the story has the head of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, who's been calling for an EU army for many years. And he apparently believes that they have to do this because Russia's a threat. Russia's a threat? All the Russian government seems to want to do is have its corporations make money and kind of take care of its people.
Well, again, Russia isn't a threat. Europe is, because as we reported earlier in the week, declassified documents confirm that Western leaders promised Mikhail Gorbachev that NATO would not expand eastward past the German borders.
Right.
And less than 10 years later, they were breaking that, and they're continuing to break it now.
Yeah.
That's what the incursion into Ukraine was all about.
Right.
Approaching and encroaching on Russian territory, and that's why Russia is concerned. But they're not the aggressor here. The West is.
Yeah, I would agree, definitely. I am hoping that Putin continues to have the smarts with which he has impressed a lot of people.
Yes.
And will be 100 chess moves ahead of President Trump and the leadership in Europe.
Well, with Trump, it's only going to have to be 5 moves ahead, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Okay.
This comes to us from Global Research. Again, another blog that I recommend to people. It's very sober in its evaluations. And the title of this article is Growing Signs That the U.S. is Preparing to Wage War on North Korea. Trump Administration Scotches Suggestions of Talks with Pyongyang. And apparently, Rex Tillerson's remarks to the Atlantic Council appeared to be a last-ditch attempt to start talks to try to prevent a conflict that could spiral out of control. And what he said was, it is not realistic to say we're only going to talk if you come to the table to give up your nuclear program, he said, contradicting the more aggressive stance taken by Trump. And with a note of desperation, Tillerson continued, we're ready to have the first meeting without preconditions. Well, that got absolutely slammed, both by Sarah Saunders and also by Trump himself. North Korea is well aware that the U.S. demands remain the same, that they've got to scrap its nuclear arsenal and abandon all related nuclear and missile programs. Moreover, such step would involve an ever more intrusive inspection prying into all aspects of its military and security apparatus. And I have to make the comment, Mike, that unfortunately, just because something is the most pig-headedly, ham-fistedly stupid thing the U.S. government could do is utterly no guarantee that they won't do it.
Well, and they certainly have in the past here.
Yeah.
The problem for North Korea is they're looking back at a long history of U.S. interactions with other countries in which these countries were persuaded to surrender their weapons of mass destruction and long-range missiles on the promise that the United States would leave them alone, only to have the United States invade.
Right.
Libya was, well, we all know what happened in Iraq. Saddam Hussein gave up his chemical weapons. He never had nuclear weapons, and he got invaded. Over in Syria, Assad gave up his chemical weapons for the promise that he would not be invaded. He got invaded. Libya stopped its nuclear weapons program and got invaded. And Iran has signed the P5+1, surrendered their highly enriched uranium, and already we're seeing the machinations for an invasion there. So from North Korea's point of view, it's utter insanity to surrender their weapons of deterrence on the word of the United States government. We have to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Talk about something serious for a minute, your age. Getting old has its perks, but remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And that little piece of bump music is Claire's version of Carol of the Bells, part of her album Christmas Without Borders. There's an ad where you can buy it on our webpage. Plug, 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 plug. Okay, what's your next story?
This comes to us again from Global Research, and it's about the dumbing down of Americans by design. And it goes on to say that the most obvious example of how Americans have been dumbed down is through this nation's failed public education system. At one time not that long ago, America reigned supreme as a leading model for the rest of the world, providing the best quality free public K-12 education system on the planet. But over the last many decades, while much of the rest of the world has been passing us by, it seems that there has been an insidious federal agenda which has been implemented to condition and brainwash a population of mindless robotic citizenry that simply does what it's told. And, of course, the brainwashing commences very early in American schools. Now, I think I've mentioned to our listeners and readers, I do marketing for a living. I smile and dial, and it is frightening to me, Michael, to listen to people who may well have a high school education, maybe have a diploma, but appear to have learned nothing from it during the time they were in school.
Well, I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah.
And without naming names, of course, I'll get mail from the listeners and readers where the spelling and grammar and punctuation is grade school level.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, obviously much older people. And I guess the attitude may be, well, in the age of the computer, all those old fuddy-duddy, old-fashioned rules don't really matter. But, yeah, they do, because that's what makes what you're writing clear and easy to understand without ambiguity.
And the way you use language defines you.
Yes.
You know,
indubitably.
I was very lucky to have come from a very ordinary middle-class background, but my parents both stressed the value of language, critical thinking, and education, and those values were something that I knew I had to embrace.
Yes.
And parents today need to embrace those values also, because it is not just the schools which have the responsibility to teach our young. It's definitely the parents as well.
Well, that's certainly not the attitude of the schools. The schools more and more are encroaching into control of the children, which rightly should be the parents, including medicating kids for ADHD, which is a made-up disease.
Yeah.
And now they're discovering that these medications they're giving the kids for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder are actually impeding their academic performance.
Their ability to learn. My brother and sister-in-law were very smart about how they raised their two girls. There was a lot of focus on homework, accomplishing their tasks. And when my sister-in-law went back for her master's in nursing, all three would gather around the dining room table to study together. And both young women now have very excellent careers and are very accomplished, sweet, whole, self-realized, thinking adults. Emphasis on the thinking.
Emphasis on the thinking. That's something that's definitely not being taught in school today at the K-12 level.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is due to Common Core. And I got to look at some of the Common Core materials through a friend who used to live near us, is not here anymore. And it's almost like they were deliberately teaching kids how to solve math problems in a way that was very cumbersome and obfuscated, as if the real goal was to graduate these kids thinking that they understood how to do math, but not really able to do it. And again, this kind of game playing is not new, because I remember when I was in school, back during the last great ice age, they would teach history as name, place, date, name, place, date, name, place, date. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And you'd walk out of the classroom thinking that you understood history because you had a name and a place and a date to go with it. But history is cause and effect.
Yes.
It's this continuous intertwined dance of competing interests and agendas. And you don't really understand the history of Columbus until you understand why he undertook the voyage, how he got it funded by Queen Isabella, and how he got cheated originally of his right of discovery after it was all over.
Yeah.
Then you begin to understand what's going on. But our government doesn't want people able to look at history and figure out what's really going on, because that gives them the skills to look at current events and figure out what's going on. And that is something that they definitely do not want young people able to do. They want young people who will get a slogan in their head and a couple of ideas, and they'll just run around and scream those slogans and think that they're politically engaged and they understand what's happening in the world. But they are, as Stalin would have put it, useful idiots.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would like to hope that some of our parents with kids out there, if they haven't considered homeschooling, if it's legal in your state, and that's still a big issue.
It's under attack.
Think about it. Because in doing tests years later, these kids come out absolutely on top of most publicly educated kids.
Well, there's no law that says you can't be teaching your kids alongside the school and teach them better things. We got to take another break for commercials. And we're going to go ahead and open the phone lines if you want to call in and say something to the Lady Claire. But keep it clean. And we'll be back after these few words.
Thank you, dear.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And grab your paper and pencil if you have not already done so. If you would like to keep Republic Broadcasting on the air, and I think it would be a good idea, the address to send a donation by check or money order is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And if you want to call in and subscribe, you'd be a continuing donor. The number is 800-724-2719, extension 03. So that's what you need to do to keep us on the air here. So we've all been good little boys and girls this year.
Yes.
Give us a little something for Christmas.
Yes.
Or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or
whatever one is celebrating. Yes. At this time of year,
whatever's politically correct. What is your next story?
The next story comes to us from Global Research again. North Korea has made the statement that President Trump is taking a dangerous step toward nuclear war by seeking a naval blockade. And they are characterizing such a potential blockade against their country, according to the KCNA news agency. Pyongyang also said that it will take merciless self-defense measures against any blockade, as it would consider such a move as an act of war. The North Korean government also believes that any blockade would be a wanton violation of its sovereignty and dignity, citing a foreign ministry spokesman. And I don't know where this came from with Secretary of State Tillerson, but he had mentioned that the U.S. has the so-called right to interdict maritime traffic transporting goods to and from the North, followed by Pyongyang's latest intercontinental ballistic missiles test on November 29th.
No, in point of fact, the United States does not have the right to interdict commercial shipping anywhere in international waters. Now, they've been pushing the boundaries on that with this idea that they can stop, board, and inspect commercial vessels suspected of carrying terrorist material, and they may try and use that excuse that North Korea is smuggling in more missile parts or nuclear parts. But technically, under international law, no. Commercial shipping is off limits, unless you're in a state of total war, you don't do that kind of a thing. And the U.S. does not have any kind of a right to interdict commercial shipping in international waters. No country does.
Yeah. And if the U.S. government goes through with it, it appears to me that we have committed, or the government has committed, to a foreign policy here of death and destruction, because this U.S. country, the U.S. military, can do it, which is bound to tick off every country with which we still have, for the most part, relations.
Well, we've lost a lot of those relations just over that Jerusalem announcement.
Yeah.
Trump has united the Muslim Arab world against us and Israel. Mm-hmm. And you'd think they would like take a moment and say, maybe we should go back and look at first principles and see whether any of this is working out. But no. We're on to invade Iran, and we're on to attack North Korea.
Yeah.
And again, North Korea does appear to have at least some long-range missiles and nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be costly
for
the United States to do that. And the attitude in Washington, D.C. appears to be, well, we've got our bunkers, we'll be okay. And the rest of you, well,
you're expendable.
There's too many of you anyway. And they are risking a nuclear exchange.
And it would be such a completely catastrophically wrong action here. I mean, Mike, the thing we need to think about is we have relations with nuclear-armed countries that we may not really like quite so well in terms of their leadership, and we're not consistently screaming about regime change in those countries, like Pakistan and India. So tell me why North Korea should be different, please?
Well, I imagine the CIA wants control of all that opium growing in the hills of North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue may be that they're basically rolling the dice on a bet that North Korea has not actually achieved a deliverable warhead on a missile.
Yeah.
They've tested the components. They've tested the nuclear warheads. They've tested the missile. They're right now betting that North Korea hasn't mated the two together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very dangerous gamble.
Yeah. Even President Putin is saying that the only way North Korea knows it won't get attacked by the U.S. is to develop weapons as a deterrent to any kind of U.S.-South Korean military strike. And the guy is correct, because if you are looking at the world through the lens of North Korean geopolitics, this is the only thing which makes reasonable, logical sense. But unfortunately, it is U.S. foreign policy through the decades which has made this their only choice of action.
Well, you're absolutely right here. And the whole point of having nuclear weapons or chemical weapons and delivery systems is as a deterrent. And you look at all the nations on Earth that have nuclear weapons, the only one that's ever actually used them against civilians of another country is the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned earlier in the show, North Korea is looking at all the countries that surrendered their weapons of deterrence. And once that deterrence was gone, they got invaded. And North Korea is not going to go along with that.
Yeah.
So it's really going to come on down to our government is literally betting your life, your home, your city.
Yes, exactly.
That North Korea has not yet made it a nuclear warhead with a long-range missile.
Yeah, we're building on a busted flush. We the people in D.C. have no idea whether they have that technology current and usable or not.
But they're going to take the gamble because one of the I think it was Lindsey Graham was out there saying, we're out of time. We have to attack them now before they achieve a deliverable nuclear weapon. And so Lindsey Graham is out there. Again, he's willing to risk other people's homes, cities, on this bet that he's right, that they haven't quite gotten there yet. But we don't know, and we really can't know.
You know, I think that the statement about being out of time is also tied in with a coming financial crash, because they do need this war, or a war, to get going to mask how horrible this is going to be when the economy starts to fall apart.
Oh, yeah, they want something to blame it on, because if the economy implodes, which looks likely to happen, and they don't have somebody to blame it on, the American people are going to point the finger of blame at the bankers, at Wall Street, at Washington, D.C., which is where it justly deserves to go.
Right.
And the U.S. has done this before. Get into a financial mess, get involved in a world war to distract from it and have something to blame all the hardship on. Crash of 1907, World War I. Crash of 1929, World War II. Crash of 2008. And here we are on the brink.
Yeah, just right on schedule. I would like to bop on over to a study done by the Cato Institute, and it's regarding Iran, and the title of this article is The Risks of Confrontation with Iran, and explains basically four options for the United States. New, tighter economic sanctions, challenging Iranian influence in the region, regime change from within, or starting a war. And the Cato conclusion is that America's best policy option would be to further engage with Iran to strengthen its more moderate political factions and weaken its hardliners. America used to be widely popular among young Iranians who want peace and prosperity and not wars and mullahs. The greater threat is Washington's military-industrial complex, which so benefits from the unending wars that it creates to stay alive.
Well, see, there's a problem. The only hardliners in Iran are religious hardliners. Iran is not invading anybody. They have not initiated a war of conquest against another country in 200 years, and certainly not since the Iranian Revolution of 1979. It's the U.S. who is being aggressive here. And so while the Cato recommendation seems to be the least bloody of all the suggestions, the fact is there may not be a real opposition group in Iran sufficient to harvest for a regime change operation. And don't forget, the Iranians are remembering back in 2009 when the U.S. tried a regime change back then. And there was all kinds of violence and death, a lot of propaganda. And in the end, it fell apart when they started showing the flag of the new Iran, and it turned out to be the flag of the Shah. And then you had the son of the Shah of Iran making all these statements about how he was ready to resume the peacock throne. And the Iranian people remember what life was like under U.S. puppet rule. And so the 2009 attempted regime change fell flat on its face. Now, it's only been, 8 years later? They have not forgotten that. And that's why I don't think regime change from within is going to be a viable option.
And the other thing that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia need to remember is that if Iran is attacked from the outside, it is very highly likely that the Russians will jump in to protect it, because they have said so many times.
And as we saw in Syria, the Russians are able to do it.
They've got weapons that actually work, as advertised. From antiwar.com, very interesting, thoughtful article, A Wider World of War. And it talks about President Trump being surrounded by his generals. But there is also a accumulation of a post-9/11 process in which American policymaking has not been made by diplomats, but it's been increasingly militarized. In this context, as the State Department shrinks, don't think that the country has no ambassadors across the planet. America's Special Operation Forces increasingly act as our diplomats globally, training and bolstering allies, and attempting to undermine enemies more or less everywhere.
Yeah, the problem is Trump is creating enemies faster than our military can deal with them.
Amen to that. And apparently Donald Trump's first year in office set a record for U.S. Special Ops. Elite commandos deployed to 149 countries in 2017.
Yep, it's a world war.
Yeah, the numbers here, Mike, are jaw-dropping. And in the history of this country, if there was ever a moment when we desperately needed to raise a Department of Peace to capital level to attempt to suggest how to resolve the U.S. government's geopolitical disputes by methods other than war, I think now would be a pretty doggone good time.
Unfortunately, the United States government is putting on the mask and becoming the robber baron of the world because that's the only way they can get out of this economic mess. We've allowed our manufacturing to rot away. Nobody wants our GMO agriculture. Nobody wants to let us be their banker with the Federal Reserve note. And so from the U.S. government's point of view, it's two choices, global war or allow the nation to collapse. And the two, sadly, are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
We get into this world war, I don't think we can win. And that, in turn, would lead to the collapse.
Yes.
Think Germany at the end of World War II. It was really, really ugly.
Very much so. I'd like to go to another area of the Middle East, and that is Yemen. And again, from antiwar.com, a very sober article, how Saudi air campaigns target Yemen's food supplies. And this article goes on to talk about fishermen, you know, not doing anything but fishing. All of a sudden, they see a helicopter overhead. It bombs them out of the water. Almost all died. This is how the Saudis, enabled by the U.S. government, are destroying food in a country that is on the brink of an historic and, you know, horrific famine.
Now, that is a war crime, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, killing non-combatants.
Yes.
And second of all, imposing starvation is collective punishment.
Yeah, I see that. And these are the kinds of war crimes the U.S. government is enabling in Yemen with the Saudi military and government. I don't know about you. It does not make me proud to be an American right now, knowing that my country is colluding in war crimes. And in the article I wrote on this, I'm asking everyone, all of my brother and sister Americans, no matter what side of the aisle you may think you're on, at what this U.S. military intervention in the Saudi genocide of Yemen, courtesy of the butcher of Yemen, Prince Salman, has accomplished. And I warned everyone on the site, the images are intensely graphic, but very, very real. You have the killings and maimings of children and infants from Saudi bombings. You've got Yemeni children dying of malnutrition due to Saudi-U.S. blocking of the ports. You have got the Saudi troops using depleted uranium and chemical weapons in Yemen. And, you know, they're having about the same effect in Yemen as they did in Fallujah. And now we are seeing this vast spike in severely malformed Yemeni infants who were the victims of DU poisoning in the womb.
That's depleted uranium.
Uranium,
but of
I'm
course,
sorry.
Remember, Nikki Haley told us today, it's Iran that's fanning the flames of conflict in the region.
And I'm very much afraid that what a win in this situation means from the perspective of Prince Salman is a complete assassination of every Yemeni person with the audacity to still be breathing. And to that end, he has ordered more intense bombings than ever before, particularly after the death of Salah. And I have an observation that I need to share with you and with our audience. When I was a kid growing up, and I grew up in a very bucolic area, Burbank, California, I never realized that this country routinely participates in war crimes. Now I have to live with that grim reality that this is true every single waking hour. Whether President Trump has had a moment of conscience, which I doubt because he's still chatting up the U.S. selling of bombs to Saudi Arabia as, in essence, being good for American business, or was attempting to soften the optics of announcing that the U.S. is recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital when he requested the Saudis to cease the Yemeni blockade, It appears that that request has fallen on completely deaf ears.
It was all for show.
Yeah, it was grandstanding. And unless and until there is a political resolution here, unfortunately, Mike, I am afraid that the Yemeni people will be facing more assassinations, more starvation, more disease, more displacement of innocent civilians, and continued Saudi and U.S. military destruction and devastation visited on that country in unimaginable proportions.
Well, the tragedy here is there is no political resolution possible because some years ago, the U.S. went on in, kicked out the legitimate government of Yemen, and installed a puppet ruler, like they have done to so many other countries.
Mm-hmm.
The people of Yemen don't like living under puppet rule. Nobody does in any country. And they kicked the puppet out, much as the way Iran had done in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So what the U.S. has sent Saudi Arabia into Yemen to do is to bomb them until they agree to accept U.S. foreign puppet rule. And the people of Yemen absolutely reject that.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Final segment of our program on this Pauhana Friday. So do you have another story for us?
Oh, yes, I do. And this one comes to us via Reuters. And desperation on the cusp of madness. And the headline reads, Pence delays Middle East trip in case needed for U.S. tax vote. And the article went on to say that the U.S. Vice President Mike Pence will delay an upcoming Middle East trip by a few days in case a tie-breaking vote is needed from him for tax cut legislation in Congress, a senior White House official said on Thursday. Reuters, 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 this is really a lipstick on a pig moment for you, and the optics of this lame excuse are officially horrible. And the reason I'm saying this is nobody in the Middle East, except perhaps Bibi Netanyahu, wants to receive Pence because of President Trump's announcement last week that he recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. The Palestinians and leaders of other Middle Eastern countries now understand that the U.S. can never, ever be considered as an honest broker of peace in the region, will always favor Israel no matter what it does, and collectively has the morals of a dead tree stump.
Well, we're going to get nasty emails now from
dead tree stumps. I know,
okay.
I know.
You've put us into it now.
Yes, I've really stepped in it. President Trump threw the Palestinian people under a bus last week, most likely in return for a $100 million, as in million, dollar campaign donation from Sheldon Adelson in 2016. And the Palestinians have every right to be infuriated.
I'm not Palestinian.
Right. Hello. Me too. That fury resulted in the following action on the part of Abbas. Abbas will not meet U.S. Vice President Pence, official. That the president didn't understand that there would be severe international repercussions and consequences to this act last week, recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital, indicates to me one or two things. The man, as you said many times, is really painfully naive about geopolitical issues or is getting some really lousy advice from his president whispers when it comes to thorny geopolitical issues in the Middle East.
Well, like I said, my analysis is that Trump and Netanyahu simply assumed that if the president said Jerusalem is Israel's capital, the rest of the world would follow along, because back when Israel was carved out of Palestine, President Harry Truman was the first to recognize the new country of Israel, mm-hmm. and everybody hopped on board. But Donald Trump is not Harry S. Truman.
Nope.
And it's a mark of how far the United States government has fallen in the eyes of the world that nobody else is on board with this.
Yeah.
Everybody is out there saying we recognize East Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine.
Yeah.
Certainly all over the Arab Muslim world. China is now on board saying East Jerusalem is the capital of Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge PR disaster for Netanyahu and for Trump.
Yeah.
Again, the same thing with Pence delaying his trip.
Mm-hmm.
As far as needing to be the tie-breaking vote, basically whoever is president of the Senate can do that, but the vice president can delegate that.
Yes.
And we have a lot of times where the Senate is being gaveled to order by somebody other than the vice president, and mm-hmm. the person sitting in that chair can be the tie-breaking vote. Mm-hmm. So they're just using that as an excuse. The reality is nobody wants Pence around. Okay, there's the music.
Bad.
Time for us to get on out of here. Please stay tuned to John Stedmiller's program. He's got a lot of interesting stuff to share with you. And we're going to be back on Monday here at Republic Broadcasting. Have yourself a really, really good weekend. Please share what you learn here with everybody that you know. We'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.